And I just want you to take a moment and look up. Just smile at God. Smile at God. Take this moment. When His love is pouring out, just smile at God. And know that He's smiling back at you. Oh, just fill us with that love, Lord. Fill us with that love this morning. Oh, love, 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 love. We need that message this morning. After a tough week, we need that message of love. Unconditional, unconditional love. Let it flow through you. Nobody's out of it. Nobody's out of God's realm of love this morning. In here, out of here. I love you, I love you, I love you. I love you, I love you, I love you. He's proved it in so many ways. Love you. Wow. Feel the love, feel the love. Good to be with a bunch of God lovers, I'll tell you. Woo! That's what brought you here, right? The love of God, for the love of God. I think my dad used to say that. For the love of God, you know. But he said it in a different way. Oh, God is love. God is love. I love you. I love you. I love you. A sign from God. We made a sign from God, just so you would know that, you know. I'm looking for a sign from God. It's here, it's here. Thank you, worship team, for just pouring it out on us and bringing us into that place of unconditional love. It's hard to do it out there, isn't it, sometimes? It's hard. It really gets hard, but when you come in into this place, it's intensified. You know, it's intensified. I needed that. I needed that. It was a rough week. Whew, for everybody. Oh my gosh. Like I said many years ago, we don't know what's going to happen from week to week. We're going to need God's love in such a powerful way. Thank you for coming out. Glad to see Betty here this morning, my partner and prayer partner through our cancer journey. She diagnosed with lung cancer a couple years ago, many years ago. She'll tell me exactly when. But so she had been a forerunner in that and helped me through my lung cancer journey. And she's been a blessing to me. I'm so glad you're here. Hi, Kathy. I hardly recognize you. You look good in a mask, dear. Oh, I like mask on ladies because it accentuates their eyes, you know. And I tell the girl at the checkout that, which really creeps them out, you know. Oh, it's easy to creep people out these days. So anyway, we're starting a new series. Oh, last month it was Son of Man. Son of Man. One of the titles for Jesus is Son of Man. And we went over that whole thing and we did a wonderful job of just explaining why Jesus was called the Son of Man. And we're starting a series today under Sandy's direction called Son of God. It's a powerful message, a powerful word, Son of God. And I just wanted to open up with a little clip to get us started in that way. Play it, Ron.
Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?
Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets.
But whom say ye that I am?
Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God.
Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father, which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven.
Thou art the Son of God. You know, Peter had it right for once. But he said, flesh and blood cannot reveal this to you. I can't reveal this to you. I could stand up here all day long and try to, you know, convince you that Jesus is the Son of God. But it says flesh and blood can't reveal that. Somehow in your life, there has to be an encounter with the living God. Somehow there has to be this encounter. You know, I talk about my personal encounter, and your encounter doesn't have to be as, you know, my encounter was. You don't have to go as low as I went, or as hopeless as I was, or broken as I was. But you can encounter Christ in every area of your life and in all situations at any time, and you can re-encounter. Amen. Thank you. In the last 5 years, I've re-encountered Christ in so many different ways, especially as Christ my healer. And that was so important. You know, everybody doesn't have this revelation. I was in Williamsburg a number of years ago, and I was in the church where George Washington worshiped. And they had a seat there, you know, and when they had Communion Sunday, like we have every Sunday, he would not come because he did not acknowledge Jesus as the Son of God right then. And when you took communion, you were acknowledging Jesus is the Son of God. So you look it up. I'm telling you, it's a historical fact. Now, whether he came to the revelation that Jesus was the Son of God, but that revelation was not as prevalent as it is today. You know, there's a process in the church, you know, a process through the ages of certain revelations. Revelation of the Holy Spirit, revelation of Jesus as Lord, revelation of the Father, Trinity. The Trinity was not always accepted. But we've been on this journey, and we have a fullness of Christ. We're growing in the fullness of Christ. We don't all have it, okay? But we're not, it's a journey, and we're in different places in the journey. Now, some of you will go look that up. Was he a deist? Yes, he was a deist. He believed in Almighty God. But was Jesus the Son of God? That was questionable at that time. Very questionable. And, you know, it's over 47 times in the New Testament, it says the Son of God. And we're going to look at one of those times in Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3, you're very familiar with it. It's at Jesus' baptism. Now, baptism is another, you know, revelation. Infant baptism, adult baptism. It's a theological perspective. I've done both, okay, and told people when they, after their kids have been baptized, when they come adults, if they want to be adult, baptized, be adults, be baptized, as we did. But here it is. It says in those days. Oh my gosh, we're in those days, folks. I'm telling you, difficult days. Roman Empire was oppressing the people. It was a difficult time, political stress, all kinds of stress going on in the world. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness. Now, there is wilderness preaching, folks, and we're in it right now. It's hard to preach love in this hour. I mean, people don't want to hear it. They want to hate. They rather have division, hate. But if we to stick to the message of love is prickly. Wilderness preaching, wilderness worship. See, we worship in the wilderness. Why are we rejoicing today when an area like the Ukraine that we watched all week is going through such turmoil and hardship? Yet we come and we worship God. We dance, we praise. It's wilderness worship, folks. It's wilderness worship. But what? This is how we fight our battles. This is how we fight our battles. And we have leaders that understand this is how we fight our battles. Surrounded. Although we're surrounded, we can be surrounded. He's with us. He's with us in all our battles. So this wilderness preaching can be very difficult for Christians right now. Very difficult. Well, where's God? If God's so good, like we sang this morning, where's God? And this is by faith, folks. We have to hang in there. And we have to encourage one another that God is with us. And if God be for us, who can be against us? We have to stand in faith by that. And he said he came preaching, saying, repent, change your mind. That's what repent means. It means turn around and change your mind. Stop thinking like you used to think and think in a brand new way. That's what, eirene is the word in Greek, and it means to turn around. I was going this way, down. And then I encountered Christ. Whoop, I got to go back, you know. Oh my goodness, he turned me around. He turned me around into a worshiper, a praiser. He made me a dad. You know, a father, a husband, all those things I was running away from. He turned me around. I changed my mind about all of it. All of it. And he can change your heart and mind. And that's what I'm praying for the Ukraine and Russia. Oh, change their hearts and minds. Turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. Oh, we're praying in this hour. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is very close to us. It's right here. Oh, our Father who art in heaven. Oh, we pray that prayer all the time. Oh, for this is he who was spoken of by the prophets, the forerunner. He is a forerunner. He is one that is out ahead of the coming of Christ in a whole new way. And I believe that there's many forerunners in this room. In fact, I believe this is a forerunner ministry. We're not crying out for, you know, we're stuck in a place of we have to have it this like it used to be. We're saying God is going to do something new above and beyond what we can even ask or think. And we have not lost hope. Oh, it's by faith, folks. I'm telling you, it's just like when you go through anything, you got to go through by faith. Now, here are the characteristics of a forerunner. They invest time in the presence of God. Invest time in the presence of God. That's what a forerunner likes to do. I like to be in the presence of God. I like to seek God, find God, be with God, spend time with God every day, not just on Sunday, but I like to be around people who invest in time in the presence of God, that they love being with God. And it says they have eyes to heaven. They're not looking at all everything going on around us. You know, thy kingdom come. They're looking for a kingdom. They're not looking for the government to come and bail them out. They're looking for the kingdom. They're looking for God to come, for Jesus to come. They're forerunners. They're not taking their eyes off him. And it's so easy to take our eyes off him when we're bombarded every day with such negativism. Such carnage, I just have to turn it off and pray and seek God. What are you saying, Lord? Oh, they risk saying yes when there aren't just, when everybody else is saying no. I mean, they risk saying, yes, God, I'll stand in there. Yes, God, I'll stay. Yes, God, I won't run. Yes, God, I'm with you. Yes, God, I know you're with me. See, it says, let your yes be yes. Oh, you have to say, yes, Lord, yes. Oh, strengthen me. Give me the strength to say yes. Oh, say it right now. Yes. I want to be with a group that says yes. Not negativity, not anger, not frustration. Yes, we can do that. You know who's like that? My wife. Isn't she, Suzanne? We'll get on our job. It looks impossible. I mean impossible. And she said, the word today is yes. We can do that. And she inspires us to do it. She inspires us. And that's why I come together in church. Because I want to be a people who inspires me to continue to move on. And how many know it's not out there? It's not out there like that. Oh my goodness. What else? They aren't just spectators. See, we're not just spectators. We get out and do something. We get out and show God's love. We get out and help other people. After we come out of this place and are strengthened, we'll go do something good. We'll overtip. How about that? Gosh, another thing Judy does that drives me crazy. You know, my wife, she overtips. Oh, he likes it. Oh, my gosh. And she buys everybody stuff. Oh, geez, I'm telling you. She's not just a spectator. She's a doer. In fact, she's a producer too, doer. And it's a characteristic, producer-doer. There's only 1% of the population that's a producer-doer. You think I don't have it hard? Producer-doer. Ooh, I can't lay around for a minute. She's making a list. She's buying paint. She's buying painting equipment. She wants to talk about color first thing in the morning over coffee. I said, we're not doing that today, okay? Oh, my gosh. Oh, so bold people. They are bold people. And I think we got a bunch of them in this place. You know, forerunners, here's what they do. They stand in the gap between how things are and how things are supposed to be. How many know things aren't supposed to be this way? Okay. Will you stand in the gap and say yes? Will you say, amen, brother, you're on fire today, huh? Will you shout the victory? Even the face of defeat? Will you show faith in the midst of hope, hopelessness? I mean, those are what forerunners do. This is what John the Baptist is doing. And they're odd people. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. Don't make it harder for people. I just bugs me about Christians making it hard for people. Well, you got to do this, and you got to do this. And if you don't do this, you better do this. Because if you don't, burn in the lake of fire. You know what I mean? Oh, guys, love to preach that. Not me. I'm going to make it easy for you. Love God. Know that he loves you. He gave his life for you. We made a sign. He loves you. He loves you. Oh, he loves you. See, don't make it hard. Don't be make a stumbling block for people to get into the kingdom or to love God or to know God. Most of the time, I'm apologizing for Christianity. Oh, God's not like that. I'm sorry, God, not like that. No, no, no. No, you got it wrong. He's my father. He's a lover. I mean, I do it in a ditch. I preach grace into a ditch. Why? Because the people that need it the most are in a ditch. And I'll go lift them out of the ditch with hope and love and mercy and grace like Jesus did for me. July 17th, 1979. Whew, never forget it. Pulled me out of that ditch. Pulled me out of a miry clay, a swamp. Oh, we need it. It's wilderness. It's a wilderness out there. It's uncomfortable. But we have to stand. Now, John himself was clothed in camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, and he ate for his food locusts and wild honey. He was weird. Oh, if you're a Christian today, you're considered weird. You're not running with the crowd. You're weird. You're strange. Then Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region around went out to him and were baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw the many of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the religious guys, coming to baptize, he said, you brood of vipers! He was bold. I'm telling you, it takes boldness to call religion religion. You know, that's what a forerunner does. He sees religion for what it is. Jumping through the hoops, doing all the right things, not making any mistakes. That's religion, folks. We're all here because we all made a lot of messes, a lot of mistakes. We're weak and we need God. We blew it this week. Anybody else blow it this week? Oh, I could tell you stories. My goodness. You know, my wife fell down and hurt herself this week, and I gave her a lecture. And you know what she said? I don't need a lecture right now. And I went, oh, blew it again. Blew it again. You know, just blew it. And later on, I repented, and we took her to the hospital, checked her out. She's okay. You know what I mean? But how many times you just blew it before you even knew it, you know? Blow it before you even know it. Write that down, Rhonda. Blow, I mean, if you get it, you just blow it. But you know what? God says, try it again. Do it again. Try it again. He's just God of second, third, fourth, seven, 17, 17 times 70 chances, you know? And he says, see, the Pharisees and Sadducees were afraid of losing their jobs. If this goes over, if this movement goes over, we're losing our jobs. See, religion is looking more at an occupation rather than a calling. We're all called. We're all called to go out and pastor and love and shepherd and all these people out there. There's a call on everyone's life to be that person. It says, and do not think to say to yourself, we have Abraham our father, for I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. So you can't go back and say, well, you know, I was this and I was that and my parents were this and that. No, it's a personal decision. It's a personal encounter. It's a personal pursuit. Oh, all along the way. Even now, the axe is laid to the root of the tree. Therefore, every tree which is not bearing good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Whew. Religion is burned up. It's dying. It's encounter. It's presence. It's real love that we have to go after. Everything else is being cut down. Do you notice that? Exposed and cut down. Oh, my goodness. I indeed baptize you with repentance, but he who is coming, hallelujah, woo-hoo, he who is coming after me is mightier than I, and whose sandal I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Oh man, we're going through the fire. See, the one other characteristic of a forerunner is humility. Jesus is better. Something better is coming. Something better is coming. Oh, if you're looking for a politician, look for humility. Look for humility. Not all on him, but on what's coming. On what's coming. And he says, I will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Oh boy, I'm telling you, one other place this is used, the word Son of God, in the Old Testament, and only one place in the Old Testament. It's in Daniel. Look at Daniel. You know the story. Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. They would not bow down to the king. They would not eat his delicacies. They would not take part in the current culture. They knew God. And they what? They get thrown in a fiery furnace. They get thrown into the fire, just like some of you are in the fire right now. Just like the people in Croatia. Ukraine are in the fire right now. They're in the fire. And he says, and these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down. Bound in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. How many are you in a fire right now? The fire of adversity. How many, when you see somebody in the fire, like in the Ukraine, your heart just burns for them? Oh, my heart is broken. For the children, for the families. Oh, I sit in my own home and thank God for all I have. And that's another characteristic of a forerunner. They're gracious. They're thankful. They're thankful. And then the king, Nebuchadnezzar, was astonished. And he rose in haste and spoke, saying to his counselors, didn't it not we cast three men bound in the midst of the fire? You know, everybody was throwing them in the fire was burned up because it was so hot. Those that even got close to the furnace without God were burned up. And it says, did we not cast these three men? They answered and said, yes, true, O king. Look, he answered, I see four men loosed, walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Whew. Oh, God be with you. Oh, when you say those words, oh, it's not a casual thing in these days. When you say to someone who is going to grieve, God be with you, it's not a casual thing. When you say God be with you to someone who's going through sickness, cancer, any disease, their children, God be with you. It's an encouragement. The Son of God with you in the midst of the flames, the God in the midst of your fiery trials. God with you. God is with you. Whatever you're going through, God is with you. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I am fully persuaded that nothing will separate me from the love of God. Not how I blew it this week. Oh, was God thrilled with my answer? No. But he still loved me. He still loved me and he said, you can do better. You can do better. You can do so much better. I know I have examples all around me of people who did better. Ken, you know, all these people, you know, Rhonda, who does better. We could, that's what we're here. We're here to reinforce one another to do better. To do better, not to do worse. Not to be more hopeless, more faithless, but to encourage one another in the faith. This is one like the Son of God. Would not bow. They would not bow. Oh, to the ones that will survive are the ones that know that God is the Son. Those are the ones that will survive. And I'm talking about even if they die. Because they go into everlasting life. Do you believe it? There is no death. Boy, did I have to face that. Didn't you, Betty? Ooh, when it gets this close. When they say you probably won't live 5 years, you know, I'm coming up on my fifth year in March. You won't live 5 years. Anybody who contacts us generally won't live 5 years. Oh my goodness. You start questioning those things. When you're in that fire, is God with me? Where are you, God? Whew. And then somebody like Kathy, somebody like Betty, somebody like, you know, sends me a card. Oh, somebody, I mean, why do I want to be around these people? Because they encourage me. They love me. Oh, my goodness. Why did I keep coming? Why did I sit out in the foyer with a mask on? Because I just wanted to be near you guys. Because you encourage me with your worship, with your love. You know, buy me a book that encourages me. Oh, my goodness. All this stuff I get all around me. Oh, my goodness, it's just wonderful. Now turn back. Oh, you know, you can ask my doctor. You know, he said, you probably won't last 5 years. He says, most people get it, won't last 5 years. He says, but you have your faith. Oh, ask my doctor what's an ingredient in health and healing. He says, you have your faith. That's exactly what he said to me. You know what else he said to me? You have your family. Yes, a big family. Thank you, guys. You prayed for me. I know you prayed for me and prayed for me and prayed for me. And, you know, someday I'll be remember your name. I mean, I just knew that the people were, you know, encouraging me, blessing me. It's just so wonderful. My family, my immediate family. You know, some of you are better than my own children, my boys. They never call me, you know what I mean? But boys are like that, you know? But they love me. My boy Luke calls me all the time. But they love me, and I knew you loved me. So that's what my doctor said. Let's go back to over to Matthew 3:11. And it says, oh my gosh. Let's go to verse 16. And when he had been baptized, Jesus came immediately from the water, and he beheld the heavens were open. Whew! It's called a thin place. The worship team creates a thin place right here. Thank you. It creates a thin place where we can see God, when we can hear from God. Not every place has that, but in this place, it's a thin place where you can experience the love and presence of God. We can't take it for granted because we need it desperately. I need that place of his presence to stay well. And it says, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And suddenly, I love the suddenlies of God, a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Whew. I take that so personally, folks, because God mingles his life with us. He mingles his life with us. And everything that God says about Jesus is about us. This, when he came out of the waters of baptism, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. He's doing something. You know, he's just not a spectator. This is my beloved Son. Oh, I love those words. See, my name is David, and it means beloved. Ooh, smile at God a little bit. No, he's smiling back at you. I need it. If you can get in the sun, do it in the sun. Oh, I love it. Don't you love it, Rhonda, when you're in the sun? And you can feel the presence of God, the love of God. And somehow it's easier on a sunny day. Oh, but we have so many cloudy days here. But God is with you. He'll never leave you. This is my beloved Son. Oh, in whom am I well pleased. Take this personally. Now, the last place we're going to go. Remember, there's 47 places. Maybe there's 46. I don't know. but there's 40-some places in the Bible that says the Son of God. Matthew 17. Let's look there. Matthew 17. Hang on. Matthew 17. Whew. Now after 6 days. Now 6 in the Bible is the number of man and his weakness. Because man was created on the 6th day. So here's what's going to be exposed on the 6th day. Man's weakness and God's strength is going to be exposed. How do I know that? Because there's biblical numerology, okay? And they associate something with every number. 7 is perfection, okay? I'm going to be 77 in March. Perfect. It means completion. I believe my healing will be complete, okay? I'm believing that. See, we have to look forward to what God can, only God can do. Perfection, healing. But the number of man, it said on the 6th day, he took Peter, James, John, and his brother. I like fellowship, don't you? Oh, I like that fellowship in the fiery furnace. Meshach, Shishak, and Abednego, you know. All those shacks were right in there with them, you know. Oh my goodness, and they led him up on a high mountain. Somehow, we just got to get a higher perspective. We just have to sometime. We have to go up on the mountain. We do. You have to take yourself up there. You know, cut the cords from the world. Turn off the TV and all the information and just get to a higher place. Oh, if it's only on Sunday, when you just lift higher, God higher, and the focus is him. It says, and he was transfigured. Wow. Oh, here we go. Pure faith. Pure faith. It's like, you know, this is my beloved son in whom I well pleased. Not everybody heard that at your baptism. Do you know that? Not everybody will hear this. Only when your ear is cocked to that place. Only when you're attentive to God's got something to say. Oh, I want to hear what God's saying about that. Oh, I'm so tired about what man's saying about that. I want to hear what God's saying. What are you saying, God? I want to repeat what you're saying. Phew. Hallelujah. Oh, that'll put a smile on your face. Oh, and his face shone. Oh, wow. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as the light. Oh, some people think this is a fairy tale, but that's what separates us from them. We're believers. I believe this. I'm just simple enough to believe this. Why? Because I encountered it. I encountered Christ. I had an encounter with him. Not just once, a number of times. Oh, and behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him. He makes it a little harder for us to believe. You know, I mean, this is quite a scenario. And then Peter answered and said to Jesus, you know, then Doug said to Jesus, Lord, it's good for us to be here. Oh, but just be quiet, Peter. Oh, see, the weakness of man. If you wish, let us build something. Let's build something, a monument. Say, let's build a monument. Oh, God's not looking for a monument. He's, you know, a monument becomes a memory, and we want to build this monument, this thing to a memory. Let's build something so we don't forget this instead of having a movement. That's what God wants. He wants a movement. He doesn't want a monument. He wants a movement that is going to spread his... Here, see, this is where we experienced the love of God 40 years ago. Well, the place I experienced the love of God 40 years ago is a parking lot now, you know. Whew. But it's right here. It's a movement. It's not a building, you know. Forerunners are misunderstood. They're really not content with buildings. You know, they always feel a little uneasy when leaders are lifted up too high. You know, they feel uncomfortable like that. Oh, because they know it's not supposed to be a monument. It's supposed to be a movement. Yes, the memory's fine, but don't build a monument to a memory. Get moving. Lord, it's good for us to be here. And while he was still speaking, behold, get a hold of this. A bright cloud overshadowed them. And suddenly, another suddenly of God. Oh my gosh, it can take you. Oh, I wasn't going to church that night to get saved, folks. It was a suddenly of God. It was just suddenly. All of a sudden, the Spirit descended upon me like a dove. And that was the first time. It wasn't the last. Oh, and I experienced his love like never before. Never before. And suddenly, a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Hear ye him. Listen to me. It's good to be here. But it's better to be out there spreading God's love. We could build a monument, but no, we want to make a movement. We want to move out there in all his love. In our this encounter this morning, we can move out with a revelation that we know the Son of the living God. And he is well pleased with us. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their faces and were greatly afraid. Whew. Oh, it's a scary thing. It's a scary, wonderful thing to encounter the goodness of God, the grace of God, and the mercy of God. Oh, to get what you don't deserve. Love, love, love. More love. And Jesus came. I love this part. Let him touch you this morning. Just let him rest his hand upon you. Wherever it hurts, if it's your mind, if it's in your body, let him rest his hand on your shoulder. Let this go right through you from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. Arise and do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. That's going to be tested in an incredible way these coming days. And you're going to be really rattled. Every opportunity to move into fear instead of faith will be there. And you need these words this morning. Do not fear. Do not be afraid. If you have to get up every morning and sit for 2 minutes and meditate on those words, do not be afraid. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for this mighty cloud of witnesses that we are worshiping here this morning with. We do not take it for granted. We know it's costly. We know it looks strange, but we're believers, Lord. And we believe that out of these ashes, that we're even seeing on the media, something can come forth. So Lord, we pray. We pray for the people of Ukraine. We pray, strengthen them with almighty accord to your glorious power in the inner man. Lord, that they could move forward without fear and in faith, like they're even demonstrating now. So we thank you for it. And I thank you for these wonderful forerunners, people who run out ahead in faith, heralding the coming of Jesus and the love of Jesus Christ, the love of God and his Son. Amen, amen, amen. We can go out and enjoy the sunshine. If it's still, Willie, is it still sunning out there? Woo! All right. Thanks for being here, you guys. Sandy will be back next week.